Hello and welcome to An Engineer's Journey Through the Book of Mormon. We explore the Book of Mormon with the assumption that science worked the same then as it does now and that the characters are real people with the same types of feelings and tendencies as you and me today. The views and opinions expressed here are strictly those of the narrator and should not be considered official interpretations in any way. And now An Engineer's Journey Through the Book of Mormon. Hello and welcome back. The mission of Ammon and his brothers to the Lamanites marks an important turning point in Nephite and Lamanite history. Lamanites began joining the Church of God. Their conversion was thanks to the efforts of Ammon, Aaron, and the others. But in my opinion, their survival was largely thanks to the efforts of Alma, and we'll cover that today before we're done. Last time we read about Lamanite converts burying their weapons and refusing to fight when they were attacked by a Lamanite army. When the Lamanites saw that their victims wouldn't fight back, they stopped the attack, and more than 1,000 Lamanites changed sides and joined the converts. The rest of the Lamanite army left and destroyed the people of Nehor in Ammonihah. This brought temporary peace, but the peace was not sustainable, because the root problem was still the Amlicites who lived among the Lamanites. They provoked the Lamanites to attack the Nephites and anyone who joined their religion. But first we need to answer our trivia question from last time. These new converts called themselves the Anti-Nephi Lehites, but what did the Nephites call them? We find the answer to this in Alma 27, verse 26, when the Nephites give the new converts land for their inheritance. Here's verse 26. And they went down into the land of Jershon and took possession of the land of Jershon, and they were called by the Nephites the people of Ammon. Therefore, they were distinguished by that name ever after. So the Nephites referred to the Lamanite converts as the people of Ammon, except for a couple of times when they call them Ammonites. Alma 26 is a celebratory chapter where Ammon and his brethren are overwhelmed with joy and gratitude because of their success. And this chapter consists almost entirely of Ammon's exclamations of celebration. He was interrupted briefly at one point by Aaron, who said that perhaps Ammon was boasting. But Ammon did not stop. He said he was not boasting of his own strength or accomplishments, but instead he was rejoicing in what God had accomplished through him. And he would never stop boasting of God's accomplishments. He asked, could anyone have anticipated the success that he and his brothers had had with the Lamanites? As younger men, they had gone forth in wrath with mighty threatenings to destroy God's church. So why hadn't God punished them? Why had God not exercised justice for their awful destructive deeds? Instead, God had made them instruments in his hands and brought thousands to the truth. When they were still wayward youths, trying to turn their lives around, they had asked for permission to preach to the Lamanites, and their brethren at Zarahemla, it says, laughed them to scorn. Here's Ammon talking in verse 24. For they said unto us, do ye suppose that ye can bring the Lamanites to the knowledge of the truth? Do you suppose that ye can convince the Lamanites of the incorrectness of the traditions of their fathers? As stiff-necked a people as they are, whose hearts delight in the shedding of blood, whose days have been spent in the grossest iniquity, whose ways have been the ways of a transgressor from the beginning. Now, my brethren, you remember that this was their language. The people in Zarahemla said that rather than preaching to the Lamanites, the Nephites should take up arms and destroy them out of the land. But now, these same Lamanites had buried their weapons of war deep in the earth because of their love toward their brethren. Not even the Nephites, he says, have ever exhibited such love. But stay tuned. Ammon underestimated the Nephites, as we'll see in just a few minutes. He continued, now if this is boasting, even so will I boast, for this is my life and my light, my joy and my salvation, and my redemption from everlasting woe. Yea, blessed is the name of my God, who has been mindful of this people, who are a branch of the tree of Israel, and has been lost from its body in a strange land. Yea, I say, blessed be the name of my God, who has been mindful of us wanderers in a strange land. Let's go back to chapter 25 for just a second. After the Lamanite attackers refused to kill their brethren who were laying prostrate on the ground, the Lamanite army went north, destroyed the city of Ammonihah, and then they were defeated and scattered by the Nephite army. Having been humbled in battle, many of the Lamanite soldiers began to remember and believe the words that they had heard Aaron preaching, and they wanted to join the religion of the anti-Nephi Lehites. The Amulonites, who appear to have been leading the Lamanite army, tried to prevent this by burning alive any Lamanite soldier wanting to join the church. But the Lamanites had finally had enough. They destroyed the Amulonites and then came home, and many of them joined the anti-Nephi Lehites. But the Amalekites, which is a typo for Amlicite, as we discussed in the Alma 2:3 video, were still very influential among the Lamanites. And what the Amlicites hoped for most was to destroy the Nephites. But when they saw the Lamanite army returning, having been defeated by the Nephites, they decided to destroy the people of anti-Nephi Lehi instead. And because they refused to defend themselves, they would be easy targets. And Alma 27:2 says, they began again to destroy them. Now when Ammon and his brethren saw this work of destruction among those whom they so dearly beloved, and among those who had so dearly beloved them, for they were treated as though they were angels sent from God to save them from everlasting destruction. Therefore, when Ammon and his brethren saw this great work of destruction, they were moved with compassion and said unto the king, let us gather together this people of the Lord, and let us go down to the land of Zarahemla, to our brethren the Nephites, and flee out of the hands of our enemies, that we be not destroyed. It's interesting that they're saying we instead of you. But Ammon and his brethren wanted to take his people to the land of Zarahemla, where they could be protected by the Nephites. But the Lamanite king was afraid that the Nephites would remember the long history of Lamanite murders, and that instead of welcoming them, they would destroy them. And Ammon said, I will go and inquire of the Lord, and if he say unto us, go down unto our brethren, will ye go? And the king said unto him, yea, if the Lord saith unto us, go, we will go down unto our brethren, and we will be their slaves until we repair unto them the many murders and sins which we have committed against them. Ammon explained that his father, King Mosiah, had made slavery illegal, so they should simply go and hope for the Nephites to be merciful. But the king insisted that Ammon inquire of the Lord. If the Lord wants us to leave, he said, we will go. Otherwise, we will perish here. It's clear from this conversation that although the Lamanites loved and admired Ammon's group, they understood that they were simply men sent by God, and it was God who was in charge. In addition, they had complete confidence that Ammon could and would, in fact, receive revelation from God and speak on his behalf, even if God's answer might contradict Ammon's own opinion. So Ammon went and inquired of the Lord, and the Lord responded. Verse 12, get this people out of the land that they perish not, for Satan has great hold on the hearts of the Amalekites, or Amlicites, who do stir up the Lamanites to anger against their brethren to slay them. Therefore, get thee out of this land, and blessed are this people in this generation, for I will preserve them. When Ammon told the king what God had said, he and his people gathered their belongings and departed into the wilderness that separated the land of Nephi from the land of Zarahemla. When they reached the borders of the land of Zarahemla, meaning when they reached the beginning of the lands where the Nephites lived, they stopped. The Nephites wouldn't know that the Lamanites coming into their land were harmless refugees. And if they were surprised by thousands of Lamanites coming across the border, it wasn't going to go well. So Ammon asked them to wait there while he and his brothers went to the capital city of Zarahemla to ask whether they would be willing to receive the Nephite converts. And it was while they were traveling to Zarahemla that they ran into Alma, as we discussed back in Alma chapter 17. And behold, it says, this was a joyous meeting. Now the joy of Ammon was so great, even that he was full. Yea, he was swallowed up in the joy of his God, even to the exhausting of his strength, and he fell again to the earth. I've personally never seen anyone be too happy to stand up, but I work with engineers and there's normally not very much to get excited about. But moving on, it says that his brothers were also joyful, but behold, their joy was not that to exceed their strength. Together, Alma and the sons of Mosiah and their group went before Nephi-Hah, the chief judge, and asked if the Nephites would be willing to protect the people of Anti-Nephi-Lehi. But it wasn't Nephi-Hah's decision to make. King Mosiah had replaced the monarchy with democracy, which meant that everything had to be decided by popular vote. So Nephi-Hah asked the Nephites to vote on whether they'd accept and protect the Lamanite converts. The Nephites, by popular vote, accepted the Lamanite converts into their land and gave them the land of Jershon for their inheritance. They further offered to station their armies between the lands of Nephi and Jershon to prevent a Lamanite attack. What had happened to the Nephites? Roughly 15 years earlier, they had said, going back to Alma 26, where Ammon described the Nephites' opinion of what should happen to the Lamanites, "Let us take up arms against them, that we destroy them and their iniquity out of the land, lest they overrun us and destroy us." You might think the change was because the Lamanites had been converted, but that's not the whole story. Let's not forget that in the past 15 years, the Nephites had also become converted. Remember back in Alma chapter 4, Alma had been bothered by the Nephites' behavior, specifically by their pride. Alma 4:15 says that he saw, quote, "the afflictions of the humble followers of God and the persecutions which were heaped upon them by the remainder of his people, and seeing all their iniquity, began to be very sorrowful." If the Nephites had mistreated and persecuted other Nephites who were less fortunate than them, how would they have felt about a group of dead broke Lamanite refugees? But listen to Alma 27:24 that tells how they responded. "And behold, we will set our armies between the land Jershon and the land Nephi, that we may protect our brethren in the land of Jershon. And this we do for our brethren on account of their fear to take up arms against their brethren, lest they should commit sin. And this, their great fear, came because of their sore repentance which they had on account of their many murders and awful wickedness." The Nephites not only accepted the Lamanites, but they gave them land and they sent their army to protect them. And this wasn't a government decision or mandate. This was the people's decision by popular vote. That's a huge change in the last 15 years. In my opinion, the willingness of the Nephites to defend the Lamanites has everything to do with Alma's missionary efforts. Alma's missionary efforts among his own people played a very big role in their willingness to vote to accept the Lamanites and defend them. Let me pause to ask a question, though. Do you think the voting might have gone differently if the city of Ammonihah had not been destroyed? I can pretty well guarantee that the city of Ammonihah, which was full of followers of Nehor, would not have voted to spend their own resources to protect a group of Lamanites who had joined the Nephite religion and were being attacked for it. So when the Lamanites destroyed Ammonihah, they destroyed a whole region of dissenting votes. But anyway, after learning the outcome of the vote, Ammon and Alma, together, delivered the good news to the people of Anti-Nephi-Lehi who were anxiously waiting in the wilderness. In addition, it says, Alma also related unto them his conversion with Ammon and Aaron and his brethren. Overwhelmed with joy and relief, the converts proceeded to the land of Jershon. From this point forward, these refugees were no longer referred to as Lamanites, nor even as the people of Anti-Nephi-Lehi. They were referred to as the people of Ammon. Verse 27, "And they were also distinguished for their zeal towards God and also towards men, for they were perfectly honest and upright in all things, and they were firm in the faith of Christ even unto the end." But we're not done yet, because the Lamanite army had followed the people of Ammon into the wilderness, and in Alma 28, they attacked. And thus there was a tremendous battle, yea, even such an one as had never been known among all the people in the land from the time Lehi left Jerusalem, yea, and tens of thousands of the Lamanites were slain and scattered abroad. Yea, and also there was a tremendous slaughter among the people of Nephi. Nevertheless, the Lamanites were driven and scattered, and the people of Nephi returned again to their land. Never in the history of Lehi's descendants had there been such a terrible battle. Verses 4 and 5 speak of the terrible lamentation throughout the land, with widows mourning the loss of their husbands and fathers and daughters crying for their sons and their brothers. But despite the mourning, there's no mention of resentment for the Lamanite converts whose presence had drawn the Lamanites across the border. We often talk about how heroic the Lamanite converts were in Alma 24 for laying down their lives because of the oath that they had made. And that definitely was heroic. But it's one thing, in my opinion, to lay down your life for an oath that you have made, and entirely something else to lay down your life, as did the Nephites, to protect an oath that someone else, a group of complete strangers, had made. As we discussed in the previous chapter, the Nephites agreed by popular vote to send their own young men to war to shield the Lamanite converts. I don't want to take anything away from the story of the Lamanites laying down their weapons, but let's not forget that the Nephites also laid down their own lives to defend that same oath. And with this scene, Alma ends his account of Ammon and his brethren. And in conclusion, he says, "And thus we see the great call of diligence of men to labor in the vineyards of the Lord. And thus we see the great reason of sorrow and also of rejoicing. Sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life." After finishing the story of the sons of Mosiah, Mormon includes one more chapter of Alma's writing. In Alma 29, we find Alma wishing that he could be an angel with a voice to shake the earth. It says, "Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God with a voice to shake the earth and cry repentance unto every people. Yea, I would declare unto every soul, as with the voice of thunder, repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might not be any more sorrow upon all the face of the earth." And then he pauses and he says, "But behold, I am a man and do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me." It makes me wonder if he wished he could have joined the sons of Mosiah on their mission. But I find myself saying, Alma, you did plenty. You stepped down from the judgment seat and transformed your nation from being proud and persecuting less fortunate Nephites to being willing to lay down their own lives in defense of Lamanite refugees. Perhaps you didn't shake the earth with an angel's voice, Alma, but you did good. You did enough. Alma rejoiced in the success that he had in his own ministry, but even more in the success that Ammon's brothers and companions had among the Lamanites. And then he says, "I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory of myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, and this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring some soul to repentance. And this is my joy." He rejoiced in seeing his people being, quote, penitent and coming to the Lord their God, because then he remembered the mercy that God had shown unto him personally. And that's where we end today, which means it's time for our trivia question. In our next video, Alma will deal with another Antichrist, and then he'll preach the gospel to the Zoramites, an apostate group who was thinking of leaving the Nephite nation to join the Lamanites. To prevent this, Alma took the sons of Mosiah with him to preach to the Zoramites. That was the name of the group of dissenters. But he left one of Mosiah's sons in Zarahemla to take care of the church. When Alma's group went to the Zoramites, which of Mosiah's sons stayed in Zarahemla? That's the question. Which of Mosiah's sons stayed behind in Zarahemla? And we will see you next time.